I'm having no compassion. I see it, but I have no compassion. He shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? It demands a no answer. Dwelleth, settled down and staying there. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. John is saying talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. But in deed and truth. Okay, so we've looked at the internal. Now, all but the first one of these internal personal testimonies that God is my Father, understand every one of them can be limited and hidden from you by 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn towards the front of your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You may not see these for a reason, even though you know you're a child of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Paul says, "And I, brethren," again we're addressing believers, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." As a fleshly believer. Paul is speaking to Christians who are not spiritual, but they're running in themselves. These are believers that are indwelt by, but not yielded to God the Holy Spirit. But they are yielded to the world and to sin. These are believers who are out of fellowship with their Savior. Now Paul goes on to describe them further in verse 1. Even as unto babes. Babes in Christ. Literally the Greek says non-speakers. Okay? They're little babies that don't even know how to speak. They're little Christians who need constant attention and constant support of others. These believers have no external testimony for Christ. If one of these believers were with me at work, I would have to tell the other person he's a brother in Christ. They wouldn't know it unless I told them. Here's the state they're in. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. There has been no spiritual growth. Now, who's been their teacher? The Apostle Paul. He's been their pastor teacher. So they're not lacking in spiritual knowledge. Don't think that. A baby believer may know a lot. Still, there's been no growth. Turn, hold your finger there. Go back in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Let's look at an example. Because I want you to understand that this is not talking about knowledge. Hebrews chapter 5, picking it up at verse 11. Everybody will be there before me. I can't find it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. The author of Hebrews says, look back up at the last word of verse 10. He's teaching about Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Why? Seeing you are dull of hearing. Folks, when a person becomes bored with Bible teaching, the problem is not with the Bible. Verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. Now, he's not saying that they should be taking his place. Here he's talking about you ought to be able to teach those opportunities that God provides one-on-one with your neighbor, at work, wherever. You ought to be able to open the Word of God to them. You ought to have a spiritual moving that happens. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He's referring back to the Gospels, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you must have that foundation, folks. Don't misunderstand that. That's needed, and we need to get that. But you know what? They didn't even have the basics. They could not go on with Christ in their walk because they did not learn and apply. They had their knowledge, but they didn't apply the basics of the life of Christ to their life. Look back at verse 12, about the midway. Teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk, get this, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The word of righteousness is a holy way of life, is what it's talking about. Not your righteousness in Christ, but a right kind of life. Practical righteousness. So theirs is not a lack of teaching or knowledge, but they are inexperienced in applying the Word of God to their life. They're not living it. They're not practicing it. They're not doing it. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, referring back to putting the word of righteousness mentioned back in verse 13, into the way they live, it belongs even to those whom by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you desire to have discernment? To be able to make right decisions in your life? Well, then put the word of righteousness into the way you live. Take it and start doing what it says and work at it and practice it. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. It's interesting to me here. He doesn't go back. He doesn't give a cure. He doesn't take them back to the basics. But the author says, ready or not, here comes the meat. And look down at chapter 7, for this Melchizedek, and he goes right on teaching. So, take what you already know and let's start putting it in our life and let's get on with Christ, believer. Let's move on with Him. So now let's move to the external. First, the assurance of your salvation and the joy it brings. Remember those internal assurances. They're limited by living just like everyone else. Out of fellowship. Out of fellowship with the believer. Out of fellowship with Christ. Neglecting your spiritual life, your relationship with Christ. Those are going to be... You see, sin brings confusion. And it's going to muddy it all up and you're going to doubt. Okay, the internal. 1 John chapter 5. You know, I never did go back, but that's okay. We're close on time. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, the first one is the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written. What things? Look up at verse 12. If you get lost in a verse, look just previous or just after. Usually the explanation is there. What things? Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath, again in the Greek, the life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. Now, you know, John is a black and white person. He doesn't like gray, and it doesn't get any simpler than this. Either you're a saint or you're an ain't, okay? Verse 13, well, and hath not the Son of God, hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that's the Word of God, your Bible that you have now. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, a knowing faith, that you have eternal life. You're not going to get it in heaven. You have it right now, and you can know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Dr. Ironsides tells the story of an elderly man close to death. He didn't have many days left. And he told Dr. Ironside, he says, I want to know for sure that I have eternal life. And I'm not going anywhere else till I know that. And Dr. Ironside said, well, what if an angel came to you and he told you, I have been sent to tell you that you have eternal life. Would that be good enough? And the man said, yeah, I think that'd be good enough. And Dr. Iron said, so, okay, then on your deathbed, what if Satan came to you and said, I was that angel, turned into an angel of light to deceive you? And the man had no answer. Verse 13, Ironside says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We can be deceived. Only the Word of God can be trusted. I can't even trust my own heart. But I can have a firm foundation that we sang about. Okay? Verse 14, an external that others can see, is the power of public prayer. The power of public prayer, gathering with the believers, answered prayer. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, here's the grace of God in this limitation, because only God's will is good for me and always good for me. But we have a confidence before him. He says, if you have eternal life, you should have an openness, a freedom to express your heart in your own language, how you talk to everybody, not disrespectfully, but I've heard these people pray in King James English, and well, that's okay if that's comfortable with them, but brothers and sisters, you can go to Christ and tell him things you can tell no one else, and be open. And you have a confidence, you see. And your answered prayer, there's always an answer. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait. Sometimes it's yes. And how many times has it been not only yes, but more than you even ask? That's my Lord. That's my Lord. It gives us confidence, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. And this Greek word for hears is not like you're hearing me right now. Well, maybe. This word for God hearing your prayer means a sympathetic hearing, an attentive to answer. He hears our prayers. In verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, in this sympathetic word, in a sympathetic way, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Ask. Petitions. Ask. Do a study on prayer. The most common word is ask. Jesus says, keep on asking, don't quit. I don't understand it, but God has made it so that in my spiritual life with him on this earth, there are some things I will not have of God unless I ask. He's pleased when you ask. James says you have not because you ask not. I don't want to miss any of the blessings. Ask. Verse 16 gives us God's discipline and chastisement. That is a mark that you're a child of God. Verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he, God, shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. Now the problem here is that word a. It's not there in the Greek. Singular sin. Now, it may be a singular sin, but if you look at the examples in Scripture, usually it's a willful, ongoing rebelliousness. Look at the life of Saul. Look at the life of Samson. But there are a few examples of a sin. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. There are the single ones. But don't get caught up in that. You're going to miss the message here. The message for us here is it is my responsibility to pray for the believer who is in sin. The one God allows me to find out, I'm to go to Christ and talk to him about my brother and sister in sin and nobody else. Nobody else. I talk to my Lord. He's quite capable. I pray for them. I ask for them. You have not because you ask not. Now, sometimes you're convicted to go to that brother, and we have scriptural ways of doing that, but it's only after a long time on your knees, or you'll sin too. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. Don't get so carried away about this is a big sin, the sin unto death. John's saying all wrong living is sin. All sin, the littlest sin in our estimation, still put my Lord on the cross and nailed him. Okay? So let's wrap it up with our last one. The ability to meet and overcome temptation in your life. Look at verse 18. 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, literally does not keep on sinning habitually, does not practice sin in his life, is the tense. Now the believer does sin. Real quick, turn over a page. Don't get off into the holiness theology here. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If, maybe we will, maybe we won't, third class, if we say that we, John is including himself, have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and nobody else, including God. And the truth is not in us as the controlling factor in my life. I'm out of fellowship with my Lord. This is what sin brings. Verse 9, how do I fix it? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, if I excuse it, if I justify it in my mind, if I rationalize it, God is not a liar, but I'm calling him a liar. We make him out to be, is the idea, a liar. God has called it sin. I'm saying, nah, not quite. I'm calling God a liar. and his word is not in us. But if I will confess it, I'll come back into fellowship. Look at chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, when it's sin singular to John, he's talking about the sin principle. When it's plural, it's the sins we do. The sin you inherit. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, does not practice the sin principle, for his, God's, seed remaineth in him, and he cannot habitually go on living in sin, because he is born of God. When we are born of God, we receive our new nature, but we still have our old nature. It's still in there with us. The new nature will not sin. Its desire is for God. The old nature will sin. When I was lost, all I had was the old nature. But now, believer, you have the new nature and you have a choice not to sin. Victory over sin. And we don't have time to go to it, but in your own time, if you want to study that, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Go back to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll close. Verse 19. Well, verse 18, don't miss the biggie here. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God... Trusting Christ as your Savior, if you've done that, Christ keepeth him, not himself in the Greek, it's keepeth him, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Take hold of, literally. We're talking about eternal security. The believer, even the believer who sins unto death, that's in the context here. The wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God. And a contrast, believer, we know we are of God. And the whole world system, the cosmos, lieth in wickedness. The picture is at rest, asleep in the arms of the wicked one. And Satan said, believer, don't make any noise. Don't wake anybody up. Don't disturb anybody. Leave them right where they are. Let them go down that road. And Jesus says, do the work of the evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Everyone has a choice to live in verse 18 or verse 19, but many don't know they have the choice. And some think they can go between verses 18 and 19 and go back and forth and straddle the fence. The truth is, it's one or the other. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us life and understanding, spiritual discernment, and we may know him that is true. And that we will know what? That we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ. It's not about a religion, folks. It's about a person and your relationship with him. And if you want a reference, look where he says, this Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. You want a definition of that? I don't have time. In your notes, look at Colossians 3:5. You have a choice, believer. Let's go for the confident life. Let's have confidence in Christ. Let's bow for prayer.